Well, you know, when we look at the 4th of July, I think something that's pretty good is Red Skelton's discussion of our flag, the Pledge of Allegiance. So I'm going to hold the control key down and let Fred get that ready. Let's set a mood here. It is Independence Day. Also on Tuesday the 3rd, while he's setting up, we have Joni's Corner. Joni's vacationing in Arizona, so she may not make these for a couple of weeks. The chat rooms and so on, but she's been very much looking forward to seeing her sister and having a great old time. They're probably shopping from dawn till dusk in the 104 temperature or whatever of Phoenix or that area. Anyway, at Joni's Corners, 4 p.m. Eastern Time, we play music, have a good old time. You know, who knows? Maybe we can get John Belushi to sing one of these times, and that'll really shake everybody up. But anyway, Fred, if you're ready, we'd like to play that. I think that's pretty good. Starting to think about the 4th of July.
Getting back to school. I remember a teacher that I had. Now I went through the seventh grade. I left home when I was 10 years old because I was hungry. I work in the summer. I go to school in the winter. But I had this one teacher. He was the principal of the Harrison School in Vincennes, Indiana. To me, this was the greatest teacher, a real sage of my time. Anyhow, he had such wisdom, and we were all reciting the Pledge of Allegiance one day. And he walked over, this little old teacher, Mr. Lasswell was his name. Mr. Lasswell, he says, I've been listening to you boys and girls recite the Pledge of Allegiance all semester, and it seems as though it's becoming monotonous to you. If I may I recite it and try to explain to you the meaning of each word? I, me, an individual, a committee of one, pledge, dedicate all of my worldly goods to give without self-pity, allegiance, my love and my devotion, to the flag, our standard, O glory, a symbol of freedom, wherever she waves, there's respect, because your loyalty has given her a dignity that shouts, freedom is everybody's job. United, that means that we have all come together. States, individual communities that have united into 48 great states, 48 individual communities with pride and dignity and purpose. All divided with imaginary boundaries, yet united to a common purpose, and that's love for country. And to the Republic, a state in which sovereign power is invested in representatives chosen by the people to govern. And government is the people, and it's from the people to the leaders, not from the leaders to the people. For which it stands. One nation, meaning so blessed by God, indivisible, incapable of being divided, with liberty, which is freedom, the right of power to live one's own life without threats, fear, or some sort of retaliation, and justice, the principle or qualities of dealing fairly with others. For all. Which means, boys and girls, it's as much your country as it is mine. And now, boys and girls, let me hear you recite the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Since I was a small boy, two states have been added to our country, and two words have been added to the Pledge of Allegiance, under God. Wouldn't it be a pity if someone said that is a prayer? And that would be eliminated from schools, too.
Fred, that was beautiful. And, you know, it kids today, people would say it's corny. I remember, maybe about 8 or 10 years ago, we used to say the Pledge of Allegiance. They ordered you to at homeroom every day. And the kids were thinking it was monotonous. And I only insisted that if you didn't want to say it, you had to stand up at least and shut up. If you weren't quiet, you know, disruptive, and you're out of there. I was tough on that. I couldn't make them say it. Most people did, but some just were quiet and they were getting bored with it. And I was able to find the Red Skelton one. And after we played, after they did the Pledge of Allegiance, I turned down the loudspeaker in homeroom and I played Red Skelton's thing. And I said, I want you guys to think about what each word means. No, we're not perfect, but we still have that abiding belief in freedom. And I do, and I think you do too. It's hard sometimes to find it at times, but it's there. I think it was very powerful, and thank you very much, Fred, and it was very clear.
Well, thank you very much.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to move into another surprise, because out of Joni's corner last Tuesday, suddenly this guy took the whole show. We were all talking and, you know, playing programs. And we were reminiscing about a cowboy named Stuart Hamblin. Stuart Hamblin had a radio show on KFWB, and he was a cowboy, you know, kind of. But he was not a nice man at the time. But I don't want to give this thing away, so pull back from your control keys. I want to introduce my friend John Ballou, who's going to do a reading, and also we're going to play a song, I believe he's going to. Anyway, without further ado, I want to introduce John Ballou.
Thank you very much, Bob.
First of all,
let me say that the last few weeks in Joni's Corner, I have been trying to go in with a theme. And one week I did novelty numbers, and I've been doing 50s music and... this past week, I went on the theme because this dealt with old-time radio and a famous old-time radio person who was a songwriter as well, and so on and so forth. So I picked out songs by him and presented them. I say that to say this coming week, I will be featuring Songs of the United States, Songs of America. So that will be my contribution Tuesday afternoon. And I hope you can join us, even though the hostess won't be there. Maybe Bob can talk Ruth Ann into making the goodies. And now... back in the 50s, there was a well-known radio host, comedian, songwriter in Hollywood named Stuart Hamblin, who was noted for his drinking, womanizing, partying, etc. One of his bigger hits at the time was "I Won't Go Hunting With You, Jake, But I'll Go Chasing Women." One day along came a young preacher holding a tent revival. Hamblin had him on his radio show, presumably to poke fun at him. In order to gather more material for his show, Hamblin showed up at one of the revival meetings. Early in the service, the preacher announced, "There is one man in this audience who is a big fake." There were probably others who thought the same thing, but Hamblin was convinced that he was the one the preacher was talking about. Some would call that conviction, but he was having none of that. Still, the words continued to haunt him until a couple of nights later, he showed up drunk at the preacher's hotel door around 2 a.m., demanding that the preacher pray for him. But the preacher refused, saying, "This is between you and God, and I'm not going to get into the middle of it." But he did invite Stuart in, and they talked until about 5 a.m., at which point Stuart dropped to his knees and with tears cried out to God. But that is not the end of the story. Stewart quit drinking, quit chasing women, quit everything that was fun. Soon he began to lose favor with the Hollywood crowd. He was ultimately fired from the radio station when he refused to accept a beer company as a sponsor. Hard times were upon him. He tried writing a couple of Christian songs, but the only one that had much success was This Old House, written for his friend Rosemary Clooney. As he continued to struggle along, time friend named John took him aside and told him, "All your trouble started when you got religion. Was it worth it all?" Stewart answered simply, "Yes." Then his friend asked, "You like your booze so much, don't you ever miss it?" And his answer was, "No." John then said, "I don't understand how you could give it up so easily." And Stewart's response was, "It's no big secret. All things are possible with God." To this, John said, "That's a catchy phrase. You should write a song about it." And as they say, the rest is history. The song Cal Stewart Hamblin wrote was, "It Is No Secret." It is no secret what God can do. What he's done for others, he'll do for you. With arms wide open, he'll welcome you. It is no secret what God can do. By the way, the friend was John Wayne. And the young preacher who refused to pray for Hamblin? Well, that was Billy Graham.
53%. Oh. Old-time radio room.
Okay, old-time radio room.
John, thank you so very much. It makes it all worth it when we hear readings and presentations like that. And what he says about Stuart Hamblin is true. He did become more religious, more of a, you know, on his shows. But I told the guys in Joni's Corner, I had a friend who had gone to Camarillo Mental Hospital and was out, but was very depressed and went to the Hollywood Presbyterian Church where Reverend Oglesby was the pastor. And the reason I mention his name, he later became the chaplain of the Senate. And she was in the back crying, and a guy sat down beside her and helped her. I won't get into the whole story, but helped her find her way. And that man was Stuart Hamblin. So he really did turn it around, and that was absolutely beautiful. Thank you very much, John. All right, I think we're approaching 30 here. Or wait, no, that's 30 means at the end, I guess. But we're approaching the time when we should play our program. So we're delighted to welcome our presenter tonight, our host, Matthew Bullis from Phoenix, Arizona, who will play Same Script, Different Series. So let's hold back from our control keys. And Matthew, when you're ready, the microphone is yours.
Hello, this is Matthew Bullis, and welcome to a feature that I call Same Script, Different Series. And this will compare the same script which was later used on another series. Now, this has been done before with Escape and Suspense and a few other shows, script sharing, but I thought I would highlight it for you in this case. We're dealing with Fort Laramie and Gunsmoke this time. And this was done on Fort Laramie originally, and then later used on Gunsmoke. The script was used on Fort Laramie on the 12th of February, 1956, and it's called The Woman at Horse Creek. And it was later used on Gunsmoke on April 17th, 1960, and they called it Solomon River. Of course, it was written by the same writer, Kathleen Height, but just the characters and locale have been changed for these series. We start off with Fort Laramie from the 12th of February, 1956, starring Raymond Burr as the captain, The Woman at Horse Creek.
Master Gallup! Ho!
Fort Laramie, starring Raymond Burr as Captain Lee Quince. Specially transcribed tales of the dark and tragic ground of the wild frontier. The saga of fighting men who rode the rim of empire. And the dramatic story of Lee Quince, Captain of Cavalry.
How far you reckon it is to the North Platte, Captain?
10 miles, Sergeant. No more than that. Lieutenant Seibert should have the company bivouac there by now.
You aim to follow the creek bed and clean up there, sir?
Not after we water the horses. Ah, this spot's good enough.
Yes, sir. Move up, Flint.
Sergeant?
Captain says we'll take a break here, use those cinches, then lead the mounts down to the stream there in water.
All right, Sergeant.
After they're watered, they can pin graze.
I'll mind them.
Kind of peaceful, ain't it?
Quiet. Yeah, sit down, Gorse. More comfortable than the McClelland.
Yes, sir. Them Shoshones, they got a way of wearing you out. You think they're still running, Captain?
They'll be back. They never run for long. Not when they're hungry.
I never heard of Shoshones as far east as the Nebraska border before.
You can find them as far east as Texas. Only there we call them Comanches. They're offshoots of the same tribe.
They sure don't talk the same.
The dialect's the only difference. They're a disorganized lot, the Shoshones. I guess we can be glad for that.
Yeah. Little of them goes a long way. How about the company, Captain?
We'll know more when we rendezvous. Lieutenant Seibert has orders to make camp on the North Platte until the company's accounted for.
I think we held up, sir.
Yeah, I hope so.
I sure got a thirst.
Hold it, Dawson. You hear that?
Like digging?
Yeah. Up there. Top of the rise.
I don't see anybody.
Neither do I yet. Come on. And move small.
She's awful little to be manning that space.
And she's not too handy with it. She must want a hole dug awful bad, that earth like granite. Yeah. Let's go up, Sergeant.
It's like she's alone.
Yeah. Ma'am, you cut out a big job for yourself.
I got no food, no coffee, nothing to offer the army.
We're not asking for anything.
Could have come yesterday. Yesterday I could have stood it if you'd come.
You'll be all your life picking away at that hard pan. Haven't you got a man to do this for you?
I had one yesterday. He's dead now. And a man's got a right to a grave.
Sergeant?
Yes, sir?
Get Flint up here. Tell him we need a grave dug.
Yes, sir.
Where is your husband, ma'am?
In bed. In the hut there.
Flint, hobble them horses and get up.
Foul in here, sir.
Gangrene. He's ridden with it. Must have taken him a long time to die.
Yes, sir.
Got a broken leg.
That's hard pain, Captain.
Looks hard, Gorse. Here, we'll wrap him in these bedclothes.
Right.
The army always take over this way when it's too late.
It's best he's out of here, ma'am. You ready, Gorse?
Yes, sir.
Now, easy now.
Don't bury him. Just yet.
Grave's not ready yet. Drink it, Mrs. Dennis. It's hot, that's all I can promise.
Been a long time at it.
It takes time. Drink it, Ms. Dennis.
Luther was a long time at it, too, the dying.
I know.
All the things he's lived through out here. Indian raids and blizzards and drought, starvation. There's never been food enough. But a broken leg. I had to kill him.
You're a long way from help out here.
Yesterday, just yesterday. And you come today.
Yesterday would have been too late, too, Mrs. Dennis.
Always before I could do something. I freeze with him, starve with him. When's the last time you watched a man die, Captain?
Yesterday.
Did it take 10 days? 10 days and 10 nights. Did you hear him scream with pain and beg for you to go for help and beg you not to leave him?
Miss Dennis, where will you go now? You got people somewhere?
Oh, sure, I have people. have parents in Philadelphia who never want to see me again. 2 years ago, when Luther came back for me, they fought us all they could. When they saw I meant to leave with him, they said, don't come back.
You can't stay here.
The nearest to me is here. There's two dead babies out there by where I'll set Luther down.
You can't stay here alone. Isn't safe.
I'm not used to feeling safe.
Captain? It's already out there.
Then you can go now.
Mrs. Dennis, this is no country for a woman alone. We'll take you to Fort Laramie. It's safe there.
You'll leave me be.
It's not a brave thing staying on here. It's stupid.
I mean to stay on with Luther a while yet.
All right, Mrs. Dennis. Let's get back to the horses, Sergeant. We're wasting time.
She wasn't much grateful, was she, Captain?
We did a small thing. She'd no cause to be grateful, Flint. She's no mind to be grateful for anything the West gives her or takes away.
Must have been a pretty little thing once. Kind of dainty-like. How old do you reckon she is, sir?
Oh, early 20s.
Looks most half a lifetime to me, Captain. All drawn tight and mean.
The West does that to a woman. They come here as girls, and no time they're women. Old, past their years. She's not mean, Flint. She's soft as a kitten. She's born a lot, that's all.
Oh, you think that, sir?
I know that.
You'd think she'd want to leave, though. No use her hanging on to the land. She can't prove it up by herself.
She'll get out once she thinks it's her own idea. Right now, she thinks she can't face the thought of leaving him there. She's got nowhere she wants to go.
Wonder what'll happen to her. I mean, alone, like that. She can't fend for herself, can she, Captain?
Those women I seen out here'd find them a man, any man, marry again, just to live. They hate the West. Chances are they'd hate the man, too. But they keep marrying to live.
Now this one, Captain.
You seem pretty sure, Sergeant.
Just a feeling. She'll go back east somewhere. Leave her dead. Go back where she came from. She don't belong out here.
Well, she's got no wagon or stock to pull it. If she goes, she'll have to walk.
Maybe she won't, sir. Maybe she won't.
Come in.
You sent for me, Captain?
Yeah, Gorse. Come in.
Yes, sir.
Sergeant Gorse, ever since we got back from Horse Creek, the fort's been full of stories that make the cavalry sound like a wet nurse outfit. Do you know anything about them?
What kind of stories, sir?
You know any troopers who are going around collecting money to send Mrs. Dennis back east?
Troopers? No, sir, I don't.
I've been kind of lucky at poker lately. Thought maybe I'd share it with whoever's running the charity around here.
I guess that'd be me, sir.
I guess it would. Here.
Obliged, Captain.
You're not going to make this a habit.
No, sir.
You taking the money to her?
No, sir. Private Plint's leave starts tomorrow after first call. He'll do it.
That's all, Sergeant.
Yes, sir.
She reminds you of someone, Gorse? Girl somewhere?
No, sir, it ain't that. Just she's so little and all, kind of like a stray. She don't belong out here.
Carry on, Sergeant. Captain Quint's reporting, sir.
Oh, I'm afraid you didn't do a very good job on the Shoshones, Captain.
We didn't wipe them out, Major, if that's what you mean.
You met them near the Nebraska border before, isn't that right? And they were hightailing it into Nebraska the last we saw, those that lived. Well, they're back, Lee. And in numbers, too. They're hungry in numbers.
I'm familiar with your charitable streak, Captain Quince. I understand it's spread to Sergeant Gorse, right on down to the ranks.
There's no cause for worry, Major. It's not widespread enough to be called an epidemic.
All right, Lee. The Shoshones are raiding homesteaders from our side of the North Platte, south along Horse Creek. I understand there aren't many settlers along the creek.
No, not many.
They're not just hungry, Captain Quince. This time they're carrying off women. Any questions?
No, sir.
Then move out.
There's smoke ahead, Captain.
I see there is, Mr. Seibert.
Might be able to surprise them.
Just how do you think we could manage that?
Well, sir, if the fire's still burning, chances are there may be Indians around somewhere.
Look at that smoke again, Mr. Seibert.
Yes, sir?
Well?
I still see it.
Good for you. Then you see the fire smoldering, not burning fresh.
You think the Shoshones have gone on, sir?
They're not ones to sit around and admire their work once they've struck.
All up!
Sergeant!
Yo!
Think we can find them, Captain? They're probably hours away by now.
Unless it's a trap, Mr. Seibert.
Yes, sir?
Sergeant, that's Carpenter's cabin ahead, isn't it?
Was, sir.
You and I'll ride in, Sergeant. Mr. Seibert will move the patrol to that rise to the left and hold the position. Two shots will be your signal to move in, Mr. Seibert.
Yes, sir. That's an old fire, Captain. Smoldering.
Mr. Seibert and I know that, Sergeant. Any questions, Mr. Seibert?
No, sir.
Then move out.
Yes, sir.
Come on, Gorse. Brother, by the cabin.
He ain't been here months, sir.
That's all there was? Carpenter, his wife, her brother?
Just the three of them, Captain. I don't see her anywhere around.
It's not likely we will.
You'd think it'd be enough just to kill a man, wouldn't you, Captain?
You'd think so, Gorse. Come on.
No sign of life, sir?
No sign of life, Mr. Seibert.
I was wondering, Captain.
I know what you're wondering, Sergeant.
Well, her place would be north of here, sir.
Due north, along the creek. Mr. Seibert.
Yes, sir.
You'll take half the patrol and move along Horse Creek to the south. You see those dots of smoke on the horizon?
I see them, sir.
Well, check them.
Yes, sir.
Sergeant Gorse, prepare to move the other half to the north.
Yes, sir. All right, fall in, come.
I'm going north of Gorse, Mr. Seibert. We'll rendezvous at the usual point in the North Platte. First arrival makes camp and waits. With pickets out.
Right, Captain. I'll judge the fires better this time, sir.
Use your eyes, Mr. Seibert. Then use your head.
How long are you going to wait, Captain? Nothing stirred up there by her place.
The troopers in position?
Yes, sir. Full circle. Set back in the hills, all around the hut. Likely she's gone by now. Flint would have been through here with the money 2-3 days ago.
Maybe. I'm going in, Gorse. You got a clear shot at the door?
All the way.
I didn't think we'd find her hut still standing. Well, we'll see, Sergeant.
Oh,
Hold your fire, Gore.
That came from the hut, sir.
The army's not welcome here, Captain.
You fire that again, ma'am. The whole patrol will move in.
You have some money to give me, too, Captain?
Now, we'll talk inside, Mrs. Denny.
You all right, sir?
No problem, Sergeant.
Matthew, would you like Fred to continue this or what? Whoa, with Ann. To continue this or what is your pleasure here?
Did we lose him?
Fred, are we able to get where he was or how do you think you should handle this? I think we lost him, yeah.
I think I'm just about where he was. Maybe a little before or a little after. I'll start it now.
What happened there did it drop connection? Jaws didn't tell me any error or anything. If you want, I paused it right when you started talking, so I can just run it back a few seconds. But I don't know what happened. I just all of a sudden heard you talking about
it. Matthew, we couldn't hear it for, what, a minute and a half, 2 minutes? So it dropped connection. It did. Would you like Fred to pick it up here? There's no problem there.
Yeah, if he's ready to go with it, go ahead and go with it. I don't think it was that long that it was off. I think it was about maybe maximum of about 30, 35 seconds.
Okay, then probably I should cue it up just before they get to her cabin then.
Yeah, that's a good place. It just seemed longer walking across the room, but maybe I ran across the room. Okay, yeah. Why don't you do that before they get to the cabin? They're out looking for the Indians. You know, they found Carpenter's cabin, and they were all dead, and they're still looking around.
Okay, give me just a second to switch my audio source back, and we'll try it again. If it breaks up again, just start talking, and then I'll have Fred pick it up if it breaks up once more. But we'll give it another try. Let me switch the source. In fact, let me lock the control here.
No sign of life, sir?
No sign of life, Mr. Seibert.
We're not hearing you. I'm sorry, Matthew. We're not hearing it. Just the first couple of words.
Yeah, I guess there's something wrong with his system because that's all I got was the first couple of words.
Okay, Fred, why don't you pick up where, if you can, in that area there? Certainly before they get to her cabin, I think, if you can find it. Because I'm worried about it. I know Matthew thinks it's going, but it isn't.
Okay, I'm set to... She just took a shot at them as they're walking up on her cabin, is where I am.
Okay, let's go for it. That's fine.
How many men, Captain?
Six. All around the hut.
Six army men. After one woman.
The Shoshones are raiding all along Horse Creek. You're lucky they missed you.
Lucky?
You can bring a few things, but not much. Let's get them together.
You didn't answer me, Captain. I asked you what you come for.
I told you to take you back.
I was real took in at first. I felt sort of kindly toward all the brave army men who put by the money for me.
Private Flint was here then?
That his name? That nice, smiley one who dug Luther's grave? Yeah, he was here. Clean till early this morning he was here. I don't figure I was arming a thing now, Captain. Not a thing.
I'm sorry, Mrs. Dennis.
It's always too late, aren't you, Captain? Too late for everything.
I am sorry. I warned you it wasn't safe here.
So your hands are clean. Your conscience is clear.
I didn't mean that.
Oh, you warned me, but I had in mind you was talking about Indians when you said this was no country for a woman alone.
Indians or Flint or any man who hasn't seen a woman for a long time.
Now you've come. Six of you.
To force you to safety this time, ma'am.
There's a safe place for a woman out here?
Fort Laramie, for the time being.
Flint was from Fort Laramie.
Private Flint isn't the whole cavalry, Mrs. Dennis. You'll get food there, rest. In a couple of days, there's a stage out for the east.
With cavalry protection?
Not unless it's called for, ma'am.
Go back home. I guess that's all that's left. I hate that, Captain. I hate it.
I know how you feel, Miss Dennis, but I just want to tell you that I...
You don't. You couldn't know how I feel about anything. I'm getting my things now.
The stage driver says about 5 minutes.
I wondered if I'd see you again, Captain.
I owed it to the sergeant, the troopers, to see their money got spent the way they meant it.
I wondered if I'd find a feeling in me to be grateful to you. Any of you.
No one's asking for any thanks, ma'am. No one expects any.
Oh, once I can forget, maybe I can be grateful.
You're better off leaving.
Luther was a good man. I used to read all he sent me about the West. He saw the good of it. New and full of hope, that's how he said it. I never saw that in it, Captain. I never saw the good.
It isn't all good, isn't all bad either. But you're better off back home, reading about it.
Well, I'd better be getting on the stage now.
Safe journey to you, ma'am.
Thank you, Captain. And I mean thank you.
Goodbye, Mrs. Dennis.
Goodbye, leader.
All set, driver. In a saloon. You should feel right about things now, Gorse. You were the first to know she didn't belong here.
I won't feel right till he's settled, Captain. Well, but how can he be now? The army can't touch him without Mrs. Dennis tells her story.
She's been through enough.
But how about him? Well, he'd have drawn time, plenty of time, for what he'd done to her.
Don't worry about it, Gorse.
Well, now, wait, Captain. You can't do it that way. I've seen you like this before, Captain. You're killing
him. I'll handle it, Gorse.
You know what they do to you, sir. Killing him ain't worth that.
I'm not going to kill him. But I am going to mark him up. Maybe he'll wish I had killed him. Is he drunk?
Not yet, sir.
In uniform?
No. Still on leave. You give me 5 minutes emergency leave. Just 5 minutes.
You leave him be, Gorse. That's an order.
Yes, sir. Over there, Captain.
I see him. You stay here.
But, Captain...
That's an order, Gorse.
Yes, sir.
What? Captain Quince. Hello.
Set your glass down, Flint.
Not on orders just yet, Captain. 2 more days of my leave coming to me.
Set it down.
He's got his rights, Captain. The saloon's not run by the army.
It is now. Clear everyone out of here, barkeep.
Now, you just wait.
Sergeant! Clear the premises.
Yes, sir.
What is this?
I don't know what you got in mind.
I do.
There's regulations on my side, Captain.
I'm waiting to hear you say it isn't true, Flint.
Setting your saber aside, taking off your tunic. Don't make you less an officer. You can't lay a hand on me. There's regulations.
I'm waiting, Flint.
You touch me and I'll go over your head. I'll tell my story to the major.
You do that.
He'll break you down to my size once I tell my story.
You tell him, Flint, and tell it all, because I'll be there to see you don't leave any of it out.
And don't come any closer. I got every right to defend myself.
You sure do. And put that chair down.
I don't care who you are.
I'm just like you now, Flint. I got every right to defend myself.
Your saloon's looking kind of run down, barkeep. Looks to me like it's due for some repairs.
Yeah, it sounded like it. But what about the customer? You just gonna leave him there?
He's taken to the infirmary, Sergeant.
Yes, sir. Is he bad off, Captain?
I'm not the best judge, Gross. I'd say a good army doctor could get him on his feet again in 6 months, maybe.
That saloon brawling sure is punishing stuff, sir.
It's deadly, Sergeant.
Well, what about me, my saloon?
Well, I'd watch who I let in there after this, barkeep. That man had a bad temper. Threw one of your chairs at me.
Fort Laramie is produced and directed by Norman MacDonald and stars Raymond Burr as Lee Quince, Captain of Cavalry, with Vic Perrin as Sergeant Gorse. The script was specially written for Fort Laramie by Kathleen Height, with sound patterns by Bill James and Ray Kemper, musical supervision by Amerigo Marino. Featured in the cast were Virginia Christine, John Daner, and Barney Phillips. Jack Moyles is Major Daggett, and Harry Bartell is Lieutenant Syberts.
Company, attention! Dismiss!
Next week, another transcribed story of the Northwest frontier and the troopers who fought under Lee Quince, Captain of Cavalry. CBS Radio urges you to follow through to make sure you're registered to vote next November, no matter which candidate you prefer. You are lost in making a choice unless you're registered to vote in a national election. Are you sure you're registered? Are you sure the rest of the voters in your family are? Make sure today. Registration laws vary from state to state. Make sure you're in the book.
Horse Creek, from the Fort Laramie series from February 12, 1956. Now, 4 years later, this script was reused on Gunsmoke, and they called it Solomon River. This was broadcast April the 17th, 1960.
Around Dodge City and in the territory on West, there's just one way to handle the killers and the spoilers. And that's with a U.S. Marshal and the smell of gun smoke. Gun Smoke, starring William Conrad, the story of the violence that moved west with young America. And the story of a man who moved with it.
I'm that man, Matt Dillon, United States Marshal.
The first man they look for and the last they want to meet. It's a chancy job, and it makes a man watchful and a little lonely.
Hello, my name Wan Li. I cook 15 years. Observed everyday vegetables, often very dull. I like you to know about French's Worcestershire sauce. Reason? French's is Worcestershire that make big difference in cooking. Please to listen.
French's Worcestershire is honorable sauce cherished for generations. Rich with rare ingredients, exotic spices. Example, one ingredient, soy, very special with vegetables. French's Worcestershire, full of spicy ingredients, 15 in all, as good as soy.
But not Chinese.
You try vegetables cooked this way. 1 tablespoon French's Worcestershire added to boiling vegetable water causes mouth to also water.
Ah, so. Just visual of name. French's Worcestershire from honorable makers of French's mustard. Thank you.
That there was a big one. You see that, Mr. Dillon?
Oh, no, I didn't, Chester.
Oh, my.
If you're counting heads, I didn't see it either.
Only heads I'm counting is catfish crowns. And that there was number 6 since we've been riding down here along the riverbank. You right sure you can count that high? 6? Well, you ain't saying you can go higher. And you listen to me, Ben Count. I can count high as need be. I'll stand up to anybody doing sums. Ain't that a fact, Mr. Dillon? Mr. Dillon.
What? What was that, Chester?
Well, I was just remarking to Ben Crown how I can do my sums with the best of them.
Well, that's fine. Fine.
It come to mind the way I was counting catfish.
How are you on cottonwoods?
Oh, every bit as good.
Well, I count 3 just ahead there.
Yes, sir. 3 it is, Mr. Dillon.
All right, we'll stop there and water the horses.
Yes, sir. You can do your sums while we're resting, Chester, sort of keep your hand in, you might say. I'll tell you something, Mr. Crown. Me and Mr. Dillon, we brought in prisoners before that was a sight funnier, and you are just a sight funnier.
All right, let them drink easy, Chester.
Yes, sir. Well, how about my horse?
Water it.
With my hands tied?
You can hold a saddle horn, you can water your horse.
I ain't scum, Marshal. I'm not a killer, neither. Just on your say-so.
It's not my say-so, Crown. You're the face on the wanted poster. That's all I know.
And that's good enough for you, is it?
Good enough for me to bring you in. Now, you gonna water your horse? I'm gonna catch a wink.
I'm not going to forget you, Marshal. You might want to think on that. I'm not going to forget you. Mr. Dillon. Mr. Dillon, best rouse yourself, man.
Huh? Chester, I guess I must have dozed off.
The horses is all watered and rested up. We're going to make Dodge by evening.
Yeah. Well, we better get a move on, I guess.
Well, what about eating? I can't go to live long day on hardtack. Chances are you will find out you can, Crown. We won't be eating until we get to Dodge, will we, Mr. Jones?
Wait a minute, Chester.
What?
It's coming from up behind the trees there, isn't it? Sounds like somebody digging up there.
There's a law against that?
Now, you're the one belly aching about food. If somebody lives up there, we might get a handout. Come on, let's go see.
Yourself.
Excuse me, ma'am. Ma'am, you're not making much of a dent with that spade.
Now tell me something I don't know.
You look like you could use some rest.
I don't need you now. You could have come earlier. 2 days, three. It might have mattered then. I sure don't need you now.
Your skin and bones.
You're no good to me coming now.
Well, you sure shouldn't be out in the heart of the day this way.
You know shouldn't, do you?
Well, I just mean the sun is punishing, man.
The sun, the land, the life, it's all punishing. I'll go on with you. You're too late. Too late.
Too late for what?
Leave me be. Leave me be.
Now, let me have the spade, ma'am. You're not strong enough.
It won't matter. I die in the trying. Leave me to my work.
Miss Dillon? She just crumpled up.
Yeah. I'll carry her inside.
Ain't no food here from the looks of her. She's starving to death.
Chester, bring Crown along.
I'll just spread up that bed so you can put her down, Mr. Dillon.
Oh, there's a cot here. Besides, looks like the bed's occupied.
He's dead.
Yeah. 2-3 days dead. Like she said, he was trying to dig a grave.
Why, that poor thing. She must be near crazy all alone here and him dead.
All right, start a fire, get some water boiling, find some coffee, find some food if you can.
Right away, Mr. Dillon. You untying me, Marshal? For what?
He was a big man, Crown. Dig a big grave.
Bye, Joan. I'm heading for the ballpark. I'm late now.
Bill Hodges. Look at the list of errands you've left for me to do again. And I'm so busy with spring cleaning.
I know, but it's spring cleaning time for the car, too. So please be sure to get the motor oil changed in the car and get a fresh Fram filter, too, honey.
A fresh Fram filter, Gil? What for?
To keep the oil clean. Dirt and sludge can ruin an engine. Nothing fills motor oil with sludge faster than the short runs you make, shopping and taxiing the children to school. Just take the car in and ask for a Fram.
A Fram? How will they know what I mean?
They'll know. More service stations sell Fram filters than any other brand. Nothing keeps oil clean like a Fram filter.
The Dodgers' popular first baseman, Gil Hodges, sure knows his filters. He knows how important it is to change oil filters at least...
Let's see, Fred. I'm not hearing it now. It could be my laptop, but I apologize if it is. What are we looking at? A lot of buffering here.
I was hearing it, Bob.
So was I.
Barbecue.
Yeah, I heard it okay, too. It was in the middle of a... Gil Hodges was in the middle of a commercial.
I thought there were three of you.
Oh, they're outside.
I guess you found Luther.
Yes, we found him.
You set him in the ground yet?
We thought you'd want that.
I've been trying to do it myself all these days. Lost track of how many. He was a long time dying, a long time lying there dead. I couldn't help him die, and I couldn't help him once he did.
You got no neighbors? Oh,
nobody fool enough to live here but Luther Thatcher. He was bound he wouldn't live near no settlement. It'd choke him, he said. Crowd around him and choke him. Well, I could have stood a little of the choking myself.
We're heading for Dodge City, Letty. We'd be glad to take you along. I'm the marshal there. I might be able to help you get settled.
Settled at what?
At living. With people around.
Oh, I don't need folks now. I don't need nothing now. Everything I got's here.
You can't stay on here alone, Letty. Off this way, it's not safe for a woman alone.
Safe? I don't know what that means, Marshal. Don't talk safe to me. I got the roof Luther left me. I got a stove and a bed.
But you can't work the land. We couldn't find much food around.
We got potatoes in the ground. And the Lord knows the prairie's alive with rabbits. I'll make do.
Well, can't force you to come with us, Libby. But if something like pride is keeping you here now, that's a big price to pay.
Pride. Pride. I'll show you something, Marshal. Here, out the window. Now, if you look close, you can still make them out. Toward the river from Luther's grave, there's five more. You see, just little mounds of dust now. But you can make them out.
Yes, I can make them out.
My babies. Five of them. One for each year we've been here. Them and Luther now. All I got in the world is here, Marshal. I'm not leaving them.
You're not afraid to stay?
I guess I'd be afraid to go.
I just don't see her living on there alone, Mr. Dillon.
She can't see doing anything else. It's up to her, Chester.
I bet we must have rode 10 miles before we come to another farm. She just sat out there in the middle of nowheres, no one to tend for her, see to her.
Why don't you go back and marry her, Chester? You're so all fired sorry for her.
I got a kindly feeling for her, that's all.
You collect stray cats, too, do you?
Digging a grave makes you pretty mean, doesn't it, Crown?
His kind just naturally born mean, Mr. Dillon.
I don't see the sense of choking up over a mule stubborn old woman. You gave her the chance to get out. She's bound she's going to stay. Well, let her. Don't cry for her.
You're a practical man, Crown.
I'm that, all right, Marshal.
But you don't know the first thing about a woman's age. If Letty's 25, she's not a day older.
She looks 50.
Part of it's the prairie. Part of it's the wear of living. The strain she's been under.
She could use some plain good food, too. Pump her up a little, Dad. She'd be right pretty.
Some good plain food. Now, that don't hurt nobody.
I'm going to be awful surprised if it makes you any better looking, Ben Crown.
Just a minute. Now, let me get this straight, Chester. You want me to prescribe something for her, is that it?
No. Now, Doc, I didn't say that exactly. What I said was I wanted you to prescribe something.
Well, that's what I said.
You said prescribe something for me. Well, I didn't say it was for me.
Oh, well, then, well, who is it for?
You'd have to know that, I suppose.
Well, it'd help. Now, you tell me who it is, and I'll go see him.
No, I can't do it that way.
Chester, there are times when you don't make any sense at all, and this is one of them. Now, I've had a busy day, and I'd just soon go to bed as play this game, whatever it is, with you.
Yeah, it's no game, Doc. My goodness, it's serious as can be. Now, look, I'll tell you. Let's say it's me that's ailed.
And I don't know any powers that'll fix what ails you.
Well, let's say I'm off my feet.
Not yet, you.
I'm dragging around, half-starved. I need something to pick me up. Like a tonic. That's it. Now, you just give me a nice bottle of tonic, and we'll forget the whole thing.
A nice bottle of tonic?
It don't matter the color, red or green. I got red in the last medicine show to come through here, but I ain't in the least particular color. Just something to put the bloom in my cheeks again.
Oh, for heaven's sake, Chester.
Well, now, Doc, I aim to pay.
Now, you listen to me. In case you don't recollect, we just came from dinner at Delmonico's. You ate steak and eggs and 2 helpings of stew, bread and gravy.
And a slice of pie.
All right. Now, I don't call that being off your feed. And you're not dragging around. You're waddling around from eating too much.
You don't think I need a tonic, do you?
I would put tonic last on the long list of things that you need.
Well, what about the bloom in my cheeks?
Chester. Good night.
Now, Doc, you...
Good night.
Good night.
Was it a hard trip, Matt?
They're all hard, Kitty. We rode most of the way to Abilene for nothing, as it turned out.
You brought a prisoner back.
Ben Crown, but he's the wrong man. Got a telegram this morning from Wichita. A man named Keeper confessed.
Huh?
Crown wasn't even implicated.
Well, Chester says Crown kept telling you all along he was the wrong man.
When did you see Chester?
Bright and early this morning. Sam gave him some money, and he picked out a couple of my old traveling dresses.
Wait a minute. He picked out what?
A couple of my old dresses.
Why?
Well, to tell you the truth, he wasn't too clear. He said they'd be put to good use, and he told Sam the same about his money. He muttered something about Doc not seeing fit to give him any tonic, and he went off to Jonas to collect from him. I suppose you knew about it.
All I know is Chester hasn't been around much since we got back.
I kidded him a little about it, asking if he'd picked himself a wife while he was gone. And, well, I know this sounds far-fetched, but I swear he blushed.
I'll be darned.
Where are you going?
I think I better go find Chester.
Now, Matt, if you're not supposed to know, don't you dare tell him I told you.
No, I won't, Kitty. This is something I think I'd rather Chester told me himself. Afternoon, Chester.
Oh, my goodness, Mr. Dillon. I thought you'd be gone some longer.
Oh, buying the town out, are you?
You're referring to these parcels, I suppose.
Yeah, I suppose I am.
Might as well come right out with it. I'd have told you at the first, Mr. Dillon, but folks seems to delight in just making sport of me. I just didn't want to hear no more about me being a sentimental old fool. It's only a kindly feeling I have for her.
You're collecting all this for Letty Thatcher.
You seen right through me, didn't you, Mr. Dillon?
I think it's fine. I think it's a good thing, only...
No, I don't want to hear no more onlys. I got her some food and some clothes and a little spog of money. Ain't enough to wad a shotgun with, really, but it'll do her.
Well, how do you mean to get it to Letty?
Get it to her? Well, it's plain as day.
Well, you can't post it, Chester. No stage runs along the Solomon River near her.
Well, I hadn't thought that through.
Hello, Marshal.
Chester.
I thought you'd gone by now, Crown.
Fixing to leave right now. Wanted to ask you a favor, Marshal.
Is that so?
Wonder if you'd mind telegraphing ahead to the marshal at Abilene, telling him my name's been cleared. I'd like to settle there, and I wouldn't want no marks against my name right off.
Oh, I guess that could be arranged, Crown.
Mr. Jones?
You're heading for Abilene now?
Well, my horse is outside.
Oh, maybe you can do us a favor, Crown. We like these parcels dropped off at Letty Thatcher's. Now, that wouldn't be out of your way.
My horse ain't no pack mule, you know.
Ain't but just a few little...
You mean to set up in business in Abilene, you say?
Friend runs a Trails End saloon, said I could buy in.
Uh-huh.
Guess if I want you to send that telegram, I'd best oblige you.
Well, now, you're nice to offer to take these, Crown. I'll just carry them on out for you.
Somehow I get the idea you were just waiting for me.
We'll be much obliged, Crown. I'll send a telegram right away. And you tell Letty hello for us, will you?
Sure, Marshal. Sure I will.
Are you out of tune due to irregularity? Then help yourself get back in tune with Kellogg's All Brand. Pleasant, isn't it? The feeling of well-being you get when constipation from lack of bulk is no longer a worry. When harsh, irritating drug laxatives can be thrown away. Because Kellogg's All Bran is the normal, natural way to regularity. Its whole bran content gentles away constipation, supplies your system with the bulk-forming foods you need for youthful regularity. And it tastes good, too. Fact is, Kellogg's All Bran is the one and only whole bran cereal that combines proved effectiveness with appetizing taste and crispness. So if you're out of tune, help yourself get back in tune as millions do with Kellogg's All Bran. A-double-L hyphen B-R-A-N. Kellogg's All Bran.
By Jean, Lady Shorey is going to be surprised. Us showing up here not a week after Crown come through.
I still don't see why she stays on out here. She'd be much better off in town.
I'll water the horses, Mr. Dillon. Oh, here. You want to take the tonic Doc sent with you?
Oh, you bring it when you come back, Chester.
All right, you thank you. I will.
Letty, Matt Dillon. Letty?
You come any closer, I'll blow you off the prairie.
Now, Letty, put that shotgun down.
Any nearer at all, I'll kill you.
Well, what's wrong, Letty? What's happened to you?
You go on. Go on back and tell the good people of Dodge I sure thank them. Only the clothes is ripped and he ate the food. The money's not worth much now.
Crown was here then, huh?
Here. Here 3 days and nights. So don't come to collect any thank yous. I paid, Marshal. I paid for all was given me.
Now, Letty, you need care. You can't stay on here. I'm going to take that gun and you're going to go back to Dodge City.
No. I'm through with men forcing me. I'll die or I'll kill, but I'm not enduring anymore.
Letty, I'm not going to harm you. I'm your friend. I am not going to harm you, Letty. Now, you give me that gun.
No. Oh, no.
Chester! Come up here!
Oh, my lamb.
This is Crown's work, Chester. I want you to stay here. When she's able, pack her up and take her back to Dodge.
Well, yes, I sure will, but what about you?
I'm riding to Abilene.
Marshal Dillon, welcome to Trail's End.
That's for Letty, Crown. Now get up.
Now, wait a minute. She's not worth us fighting over, Marshal. I ought to know.
A widow woman, sick and in need. What kind of a brute are you?
She's asking for it, staying out there alone. Why, any man would...
If anybody cares, he needs a doctor. Bad.
Come in.
Ah, hello, Letty.
Well, Marshal Dillon. I wondered if you'd be coming to call.
Well, I've been out of town. Doc says you're coming along fine.
Well, I declare that folks here have been so kind. I near forgot how kind and gentle folks can be. Chester, Miss Kitty, Doc, and Ma Smalley.
Hey, Ma says she's having trouble keeping you down.
Well, I got to pay my keep. I can't always be taken.
Well, there's time, Letty. You just get strong and well again.
Marshal, I was wrong. I faltered on so many things. What happened was my doing. Staying on when you tried to get me to leave.
Well, you just try to blot it out, Letty. That's best.
I'm remembering lots of things. All of it. It's right that I do. Luther risked him. Seeing the good of it out here. Wanting to make a place for us. All I could ever see was what we were losing.
You lost a lot.
The folks here, the most of them are building. A town, a life. I'm going to be a part of it. Part of the good. I owe it to Luther.
No, you owe it to yourself, Letty. I tell you, the West needs women. Women to be part of the good.
For so long, I just said to myself, I wish I'd die.
Well, I wish you'd live, Letty. But you're the only one can do that. Nobody else can do that for you.
Well, that's what I'm coming to know, Marshal. That's what I'm coming to know.
Next time you refresh, enjoy a frosty, ice-cold Pepsi-Cola.
Sociability, Charlie.
All right, Kay, how's this? Pepsi is light, refreshes without filling. You like to refresh? Have a Pepsi right now.
Well, offer it to everybody, Charlie.
I will. Enjoy Pepsi at the fountain. It's delicious at home, too. Have one at lunch or with a snack.
Charlie.
At the beach or at dinner. Wherever you go, wherever you're thirsty. Pepsi is there.
It's here, too, in our Be Sociable song.
Be sociable, look smart, keep up to date with Pepsi. Drink light, refreshing Pepsi. Stay young and fair, get an air. Be sociable, have a Pepsi.
For the weekend, have plenty of Pepsi around. Pick up an extra carton today. CK? I'm sociable.
With Pepsi, everyone is.
Gunsmoke. Produced and directed in Hollywood by Norman McDonald, stars Matthew William Conrad as Matt Dillon, U.S. Marshal. The story was specially written for Gunsmoke by Kathleen Height, with editorial supervision by John Meston. Featured in the cast were Virginia Christine and Vic Perrin. Harley Bear is Chester, Howard McNair is Doc, and Georgia Ellis is Kitty. This is George Walsh inviting you to join us again next week when CBS Radio presents another story on Gunsmoke.
That was Solomon River from the Gunsmoke series on April 17, 1960, a script which was originally used on Fort Laramie back in February of 1956. This is Matthew Bullis. Thanks for joining me.